Hello, friends, loyal listeners, and bears everywhere. It's that time of the year. The shadows are growing long. Night's creeping in earlier and earlier. In this Halloween episode of The Sound Barrier, we decided to do something different. We solicited stories from you, listeners, students, staff, faculty from here at Northeast State. We received a few stories, and we're going to read them here on the air, of otherworldly experiences, suspicious activity, and all-around spookiness that our listeners and those who submitted stories claim to have had. What's your scary story? Too scared to submit it? Too disturbing to talk about? So as October closes in and Halloween arrives, let's get into the stories. Let's see what scares you. This story comes to us from Claudia. This is her experience. The previous owners of this house lowered the price and seemed eager to sell when we first bought it. We went to bed our first night feeling tired and worn out from the move. But in the middle of the night, I felt someone watching me while I was sleeping. I told myself it might be one of my children coming down from their upstairs bedrooms and perhaps not sleeping well due to having the new bedrooms. I opened my eyes, and sure enough, someone was bending down over me. I caught a glance of a white robe being worn and what appeared to be a little girl, but I couldn't recognize her. My instincts told me it was a spirit and not one of any of my girls. So I got up and immediately tried to grab her right in front of me, but she disappeared. We continuously heard steps coming down from the stairs, saw white smoke inside our house. Things would go missing or simply get moved. Doors would open on their own. We tried to make sense of it all and convince ourselves it was just the wind, the house settling, anything to keep us being afraid until these identities started manifesting themselves with more power and affecting my son's mental state. He started seeing black shadows in his room, floating around. He would feel a presence holding him back, till one day they started shaking his bed uncontrollably. He'd finally had enough. He yelled out and we ran upstairs to comfort him when he told us that he'd been experiencing all these things and couldn't take it anymore. He told us this was the reason he was always in a daze and kind of not with it during the day. He would be in distress constantly, so we all started sleeping together in our bed, all five of us. Our son told us he saw an older man with a black shadow harboring behind him and a little girl with a white robe like the ones people wore in the 1800s. The description of the little girl was the same little girl I had encountered on our first night in this home. We'd hear coins roll. I would hear them being dropped from the catwalk balcony into our living room. I would run to see what it was and never found anything. One day I was in my daughter's bedroom. My son was playing Xbox in his room when we heard a heavy coin thrown. But this one you could hear rolling down the hallway onto the floor of the hallway. Everyone was asleep but my son and I. I ran immediately to see if I could catch a glimpse of who or what was doing this. When I saw this coin settling around as it stopped in front of my son's door, my son was yelling out for me because he heard the whole thing and out of fear was purely paralyzed. I could hear him telling his friends through Xbox, "Guys, did you hear that? Did you?" I got him out of the room and went running to get everyone. They were all asleep. We all brought them downstairs where the coin had landed and appeared to roll and be thrown out of nowhere. Suddenly, the coin simply materialized out of thin air right in front of us. We didn't touch the coin with our bare hands. We didn't dare. We then had holy water and holy oil, so we put some of it on it and picked the coin up with gloves and discarded it while praying over it. We contacted someone at that time that helped us pray for deliverance. And from that day forward, we anointed the home with holy oil, spread holy water, and started praying for deliverance for the whole house. We brought in a priest to bless it. It was not until two things happened that peace finally came. We prayed for those identities to go to the light because my son was in a trance on a specific day and told us that two souls were trapped in this dimension and needed help. The man had told my son that his young daughter the one in the white robe, had been suffering from an illness which made him take her out of her misery. He described an old era with no advances or medical help, and not being able to live with himself, he took his own life. This dark shadow was tormenting them both, and they were trapped all these years in this dimension. We prayed for them, offered mass, and asked them to go to the light. We also asked for anything else roaming to leave. We did all this with prayer. Peace took over, and we have not had a single incident thereafter. The last manifestation happened when we asked these identities to leave with prayer. Our front door opened on its own, as if letting us know they were leaving. There's so much more to elaborate on. What we endured during that time period would make a very long story, but I have condensed it to the most significant things. Our faith and prayer life grew, especially my son's.
This story comes to us from Braden, titled, A Long Walk Home. I suddenly woke up, and to my surprise, I was still in the library. I went to check my phone to see the time, but of course, it was dead. It was pitch black outside, as if the stars didn't seem to be shining at all. I checked my surroundings and saw that all the lights in the building were turned off, except one, and it flicked very often. I proceeded to open my bag and throw my stuff inside. Just as I was starting to walk away from the table, I heard a door creak. I jerk around out of instinct, only to find that I couldn't see anything behind me as it was too dark to see. I quickly left through the front door as I didn't want to stick around much longer. A quiet and cool night hung over the world as I started walking to my apartment. I walked alone, only for me to get the sensation like someone was following me. I turned back to find that it was only me out there. I continued walking, and I just decided to stop suddenly. I wanted to help clear my mind to show that no one was there. To my horror, I heard steps that were not my own, moving closer. The steps stopped after a short delay after I stopped moving. My mind began racing. I called out, hello? Is anyone there? Silence. Nothing but dead silence. I started moving slightly faster. I started moving faster and faster till I was sprinting. Only then I could hear big footsteps clomping behind me. As soon as I got close to my neighborhood, the footsteps behind me seemed to stop suddenly. I didn't turn around, I just kept running. My apartment building was within reach. As I slung open the door and ran up my floor, I rummaged through my bag to find my keys. I went into my apartment and finally breathed a sigh of relief.
Our next story is brought to us by Chastity. I had just moved in at the Boatyard apartment complex on Netherland Inn Road. I was told when I first moved there, it was built in 1922 and that it used to be an old hospital. I was on the very top floor where you can see the top middle window. The building was gorgeous. It was a big, beautiful brick building that had been well built. Beautiful hardwood flooring and some really nice looking pictures from back in the early 1900s. I was delighted to finally have my own place, and it was perfect for me. The steps were a little steep going up into the front door, and when you opened the heavy front door, it smelled like an old hospital. It would just hit you in the face. But it went away after you got used to it. Every time I told someone I had moved into the old hospital, they would have a strange look on their face and would continue to tell me how I wouldn't last long there. They would make bets on how long I would last. I told one of my aunts about it, and she just shook her head at me with a horrified look on her face and told me I needed to move out. I couldn't understand what everyone's deal was. Why couldn't they just be happy I had my own place? After about 2 weeks, the people around me must have been getting used to having me around because they started to have conversations with me almost every time they saw me. They always seemed to pry, though, and felt like they were waiting on me to tell them something. They would say things like, "Did you hear anything last night? Did you see anything out of the ordinary?" It got super annoying, so I would just look down and try to avoid eye contact and conversations. I thought they were just trying to scare me off. But after about 2 weeks of being there, my best friend Angel came knocking on my door. She said, "Hey, can I crash with you? Steve and I aren't getting along, and I had to leave." I said, "Sure, you can have my room. I always sleep on the couch anyway." We talked for a little while, then finally laid down for the night. When suddenly, she starts shaking me, telling me to get up. I asked, "What is it?" She said, "There is someone in your room, and they keep walking back and forth. I can hear their footsteps. It even touched my arm. Whatever it is, it keeps moving the hangers back and forth, sliding them on the rack in your closet." I could tell she was serious by the tone in her voice. She wanted out of there, and she wanted out now. She grabbed my arm hard and said, "Let's go, now." I said, "Well, hold on a minute." I ran my hand up and down the wall looking for the light switch and flipped it on. She followed closely behind me. I could feel her cuddled up behind me shaking. I opened the closet and scanned the room, but I didn't notice anything out of place. So I walked back towards the living room, flipped the light switch back off behind me, and plumped back on the couch. I said, "I don't know, maybe you were dreaming. I mean, this is an old building. It could have been any type of animal like a raccoon or even a mouse." She shot me a glare that could cut through glass. I said, "Okay," with a chuckle. "Since you're so scared of whatever animal that was, I'll switch rooms with you. You can have the couch and I'll take my bed." She said, "No, maybe you're right about it being just an animal, or maybe even it's just an old creaky house. Maybe whatever it was, it climbed on the hangers and rattled them. Who knows?" She was going to sit down beside me when we were both startled by seeing her purse go flying across the floor from the dark bedroom. We both screamed. She jumped on my lap and said, "What was that?" Biting her red nails, I could see a single tear stream down her face. I said, "I don't know, Angel. If you'll get up off me, I'll go check it out." I mean, I guess I had to be the strong one for her, so she didn't lose it any more than she already had. As I crept closer into the room, I felt the coldest rush of breeze, almost causing my breath to be knocked out of me. I had goosebumps all over my body as my hand reached for the light switch and I quickly turned it on. I heard her ask behind me, "Is everything all right? Do you see anything?" I scanned the room, but didn't see anything at first, until I walked over to the window, and under it was a board that looked like it had been pried up from the floor. I looked in the crack of wood, and it looked like a bunch of old photos, and maybe even some odd little cigarette case. I ran back to the living room looking for my old toolbox my brother gave me when I moved in. I grabbed the hammer and made my way back to the bedroom, determined to see what was under there. I took the hammer, and after a few tries, I pried it all the way back, but only after knocking me backwards on my bottom. Angel finally got up enough courage and curiosity to come see what was going on. As we both stood there puzzled at what we had just discovered, we heard a loud knock at the door. We turned toward the door, frozen in fear. We didn't care who it was. We weren't answering it. I pulled all the old pictures and the metal cigarette case out of the old floor, and we were startled at what we saw. Laid out in front of us were old photos of a boy and what looked like his father. On the one picture, the back of it read, "Hugh Hamblin and Charles Hamblin." It looked like the scene of a man being hit by a car in one of the photos, and the other of bright headlights. The other picture, like a boy lying unconscious in a hospital bed. I had chills run up and down my whole body. I could feel the hair on the nape of my neck stand straight up. I looked at my friend and said, "What if something happened here? What if someone was murdered here? Maybe the ghost is trying to tell us something, maybe to lead us to who did it and what happened." She looked at me with sad eyes and said, "Well, now I just feel sorry for the ghost." I agreed. I picked up a little trinket and opened it up to find a paper that said, "Help us," on it. I suddenly had an idea pop in my head. I told Angel to go get her phone and Google accidents near or around the hospital on Netherland End Road. She flew in there as quickly as she could. She came skidding back, sliding on her socks, sitting down next to me. She looked it up, and after a few pages, there it was. It read, "One foggy night in 1922, five young men were joyriding in a Model T Ford down Rogersville Pike near Rutherford Bridge when an animal ran out in front of them. The driver swerved to miss the animal and inadvertently crashed into the concrete structure of the bridge. When rescuers arrived on the scene, two of the boys were already dead, and one young man died shortly after being admitted into Riverview Hospital. Another section of the story said, Hugh Hamblin, the father of one of the boys, Charlie Hamblin, rushed to the hospital as soon as a nurse informed him of his son's accident. Although driving through the fog was difficult, Hugh made it to the hospital. As Hugh parked along Netherland Inn Road, he walked up the hill to the hospital. Hugh feared the worst as he rushed to Charlie's bedside. He was relieved to see that his son was still alive, although he suffered a head concussion and a few internal injuries. The next morning, Hugh was told his son's condition was improving, so he walked back to his parked vehicle for a cigar, and to his surprise, the fog from the night before had become thicker. As he was crossing the road to his vehicle, he saw two large, round headlights driving straight towards him. Before he could react, Hugh was struck by the oncoming car. The driver was a girl who had never driven a car before. Hugh was carried back up to the hospital, where he lingered for 2 days with a crushed chest and pierced lungs. It says that when Hugh died, Charlie's ears began to bleed. We were both stunned and saddened as to what we had just read. We couldn't believe it. It wasn't long after I moved out and left the Hamblin ghost to themselves.
Listeners, we appreciate you taking the time to listen to this very special edition of The Sound Barrier. We hope you enjoy your Halloween, and we hope that we introduced some spookiness into this holiday for you. If you'd like for us to read a story of your own that you've experienced, make sure to send it in to us for next year. We'll talk at you next time as we continue to break the barrier.